Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is your co-host, Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we are going to talk about self-sabotage. And I don't really know if people are aware that we've been programmed to self-sabotage ourselves in so many different aspects of our lives. And I've self-sabotaged pretty much my entire childhood, young adulthood, and even like mid-adulthood. And it's honestly, it's devastating. And what's crazy is that I don't think many of us are even aware that we are even doing this to ourselves. And I know that right now Tiara is going through that right now. I have been fortunate enough, and I'll kind of talk about how I have resolved my issues of self-sabotage. And I know Tiara is navigating that right now. And I know that she wants to share her story about why she does it, why it happens, some of the signs, maybe the things that she wasn't quite conscious to, that she didn't even know that she was self-sabotaging. And that's something that her and I have been working on, especially lately, because when you're in self-sabotage, you're stuck. And I don't think a lot of people realize that self-sabotage equals being stuck. And it's absolutely devastating because you don't even realize like the harm and damage that you're causing to your own personal growth. And it's just something that we want to open up the discussion and talk about today.
Yeah, so I will say I've probably been self-sabotaging my entire life since birth. And I want to start off by talking about a little bit about what it is, because I feel like there are multiple perspectives when it comes to self-sabotage and what it can look like. But I found a definition on Reddit, of all places, from someone who broke it down really well, just based on like my own experience and what I've gone through. I tried looking like on some of the psychology websites, and I felt like the definitions were very, I don't know, very vanilla. And I was like, you know, I feel like there's so
too
much,
scientific, maybe
too scientific, very vanilla, and not right. Really relatable as an individual person who's going through it. So I'm just going to share what I find, in my opinion, is a good breakdown of what self-sabotage is. In essence, it says it's the art. Art probably isn't the word I'd use, but let's just go with it. Is the art of undermining your own goals, dreams, and ambitions. It's a behavior that often leaves us wondering why we act in ways seemingly at odds with our best interests. And this individual kind of breaks down the different reasons why we self-sabotage. So he talks about something here called the comfort zone dilemma, which I do want to share because I also think that this is a really strong component of self-sabotage in some individuals. Basically, human brains are wired to seek comfort and familiarity, making stepping out of our comfort zone an anxiety-inducing endeavor. The brain often perceives the known, even if it's negative or unproductive, as safer than venturing into the unknown, which makes a lot of sense, and that's exactly what my mind does. He also talks about things like the fear of failure, imposter syndrome, immediate gratification versus long-term goals. And then the inner critic, and that these are all different components of self-sabotage. And honestly, I agree 100% that these are all different components of it, and they all sort of kind of combine to make it very difficult for you to reach your goals. Like, even if you really want to and you're trying so hard, essentially what ends up happening is things just blow up in your face. Like, you can't get off the ground. You get somewhere and then things crash or don't work out for some reason. Things don't come through or follow through. If you're working with other people, maybe they don't follow through or work or come through for you. It's just like always something that stops you from getting to where you want to go. And the crazy part about it is that often it's us doing it. And that can be jarring, especially if you don't recognize this about yourself and you don't recognize that you are carrying self-sabotaging patterns and behaviors. So that's sort of a broad overview that I wanted to give before we dove into this conversation.
That's so interesting that you found that on Reddit. There's a lot of interesting stuff on Reddit. If you guys are just bored, there is some really, really interesting stuff. I mean, of course, there's a lot of ego and there's a lot of imposter, but you just got to know how to weed some of that stuff out, because Tiara and I have found fascinating stuff on Reddit. And we actually, like, that's where I found our last topic, the dead internet theory. I found that on Reddit, and then I was able to go down that rabbit hole. And the dead internet theory is just, like I said, with AI blowing up. Mm. We are seeing it all over social media right now. Like, it's gotten so good that people are just like, is this AI? Is this real? I can't tell anymore. It's gotten so good.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much. And I see that stuff all over my TikTok. And I'm just like, I know that this is AI, but there's a part of my brain that, like, wants me to believe that this exactly. is real. And I'm just like, no, I'm not doing it. This is AI. I know it is. Even if it doesn't say that it's AI. But yeah.
Right.
It's so aggravating, because I really don't like AI generated content personally. I think it's deceptive and deceiving and misleading. And I'm just like, why would you want this type of content to be consumed by others? Like, you're misleading people. I've never understood AI content, generated content on social media.
I do think we're going to move into a period where we actually finally get off our phones and we don't spend as much time on social media. And honestly, it's going to be the best thing for humanity, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I agree. I'm just like,
but that is how good AI is getting you guys. It's like, I'm just like, I see it all over comments. Like, is this AI? Is this real? How do you know if this is real? Because it looks so real, you know, and good. And
yeah. You know, and like, the ones that really bother me the most are like the found footage or the security footage videos that look like you can't tell that they're not real, but it might be something outrageous happening. Like, I saw one that was like a woman and her child being attacked by a bear, and then there was a dog that was protecting them, and the dog came out to fight the bear, and the woman was just like, oh my god, oh gosh, let me get my kid. So she goes and gets the kid, and then she runs and then trips and falls, and the baby flies in the air, and I'm just like, this is not the internet. This can't be the internet in 2025.
Right. So I mean, not to get off topic, it's absolutely crazy. So, I mean, like I said, best thing for humanity is that we reconnect human to human. And honestly, it would be the best things for our souls, because the studies are out, like, talking about how deadly loneliness is. And, you know, it's like, how do we combat loneliness? Well, we have to get out of our bubbles, and we have to re-enter society, and we need to reconnect with people face to face.
We do. Agreed. And I think that that's needed and necessary. And to the point where the whole concept and conspiracy theory about 3 days of darkness, like, the internet's going to go out.
Oh, yes. I hope it happens.
No, me too. I'm just like, yes, yes, bring that right now. So anyway, we got off topic. We always do that. Sorry. Back to...
Well, I mean, this actually kind of ties in a little bit, because you have to understand that the way that our brains are wired, right? Like, we are so wired deep into the programming where we are looking for, as Tiara just said, comfort. Right. And so, unfortunately, people find comforts in social media, and social media was originally supposed to be for connecting friends and families and new connection. Like, this was before AI even got integrated into the internet. And so, you know, it was a way for us to connect to loved ones who were, I mean, both Tiara and I are both Americans, like, across the country. And it's like, it was a way that, like, we could feel connected even if we were 1,000 miles apart. And obviously that has evolved and changed, but you have to understand that the self-sabotaging piece is that there's a lot of components, and I liked how Reddit broke it down, and comfort is definitely a huge hindrance. That's why, like I said, like, one of my favorite quotes from, I heard it on The Greatest Showman, because I'm pretty sure P.T. Barnum said it, was comfort is the enemy of progress. And I don't think people really understand that. And that's something that I've really been trying to teach Tiara, because, you know, people, once you're comfortable, people don't want to step out of that comfort zone. And you have to also understand is that loneliness becomes a comfort, right? It's just like going out into society gives people anxiety. And people don't really know how to interact. And I know people, and this has been like a proven thing with studies, especially amongst Gen Zers. They get anxiety just needing to, the thought or needing to or having to talk on the phone. It's like they are so comfortable with texting, obviously, that people don't even know how to talk on the telephone anymore. It's not even human to human contact. And so if people are uncomfortable talking on the phone, just imagine what it's like being like, oh, I got to leave my house. I have to, you know, go out into the world and be with people. Unfortunately, that's just how it is in 2025. People get anxiety over that. And it's really disheartening because it just shows how separated and dissociated we've come from, you know, what it was 40 years ago when Tiara and I were growing up before the internet bubble. And there's just so much other things with the self-sabotage, but a lot of it, I would say, comes like the first component is the comfort piece. People don't want to step out of their comfort zone. And then the other component, another huge component, is the unknown piece. People get terrified by the thought of the unknown. I was there. I know what that's like because I was there. I did not like change growing up. I did not like change. I was so uncomfortable with change that I resisted change. I was just like, how do I keep everything the same? And I realized like how limiting that really was. And I didn't realize how limiting it was probably until I was about 15. Like I kind of had that awakening about how limiting it was, that how much I just resisted and didn't like change. And I'm really happy I snapped out of a lot of things in my younger years with the help of my parents, but also with the help of me building and the relationship with myself and trusting my intuition and really letting my intuition guide me. That has been a really huge component in also helping me snap out of things, because me growing up, I had a really weird childhood because there was things about my childhood that I absolutely loved. And there was things about my childhood that I absolutely dreaded and did not want to participate in. There was a lot of things about the system that I was just so against. And for me, I would have to say that what snapped me out of it was embracing change, because I was just so unhappy with my circumstances that I was just like, okay, something has to change. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I'm going to achieve it, but I just know that how everything is right now is unacceptable. And the only way that I know how to change it is by doing something different. And so I started exploring doing things differently from the age of 15. And you have to understand like where that has led me. That has led me to graduating high school early. I graduated when I was 16. It led me to leaving what I thought at the time was all my problems, Vermont, where I grew up. And so I got to leave the state. And then, you know, I wanted to explore something different, because you have to understand New England is its own little pocket in America. It's like not very many people know about it. It's so funny. Like I was 18 when I moved to Hawaii and people would be like, oh, where are you from? And I'd be like, oh, I'm from Vermont. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but like they used to ask me, oh, what state is that in? And I'd be like, well, it's its own state. It's just New England. That's just how small of a bubble and a pocket New England really is. That like Americans. I mean, and Hawaii is its own, you know, Hawaii is its own little bubble. But I mean, I have met people on the mainland, like even in California, that's like, oh, what state is that in? And I'm like, it's its own state.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just really interesting, you know, it's like, okay, so Americans, we are known for being horrible at geography.
Terrible. Like, I can vouch terrible. For that.
Americans can't name all 50 states. They can't name the capitals of those states. Nope.
I can't either. So, I mean, like, I vouch fully for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can because I learned it when I was 8. But, like, I'm also really good at geography. I also really, like, I just took a interest in it because mm-hmm. I have always been interested in traveling. So, of course, I'm quite good at geography. Mm-hmm. But it's just really interesting because, like I said, New England is its own little bubble. And, you know, it's not for everyone. And I know a lot of people, especially if you look at the demographics for Vermont in particularly, it's just like the age demographics that are there are like 18, like baby to 21. And then like the next age group is like 50 to or 45, like 45 to like, you know, retirement age. And so it's like there's this whole gap of people missing from the age of 21 to 45. It's like, where's that entire age group? Well, it's just because it's its own little bubble and people want to see like what else is out there in the world. And so I would say the biggest thing for really getting out of self-sabotage for me in particularly, well, there was a couple things, but the one that, because we're on this topic, the one for me was just wanting something different. And you have to want something different or you're not going to move the needle. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. Like, a lot of people will sit around and wish and hope and just, you know, just say, I'm going to manifest something different from sitting on the couch at my home. I'm just going to throw it out into the universe and it's going to happen. Now, for some people, that really does work. And I commend those people. But that has not been the case for me. The case for me is, no, I have to move. I have to have the movement. I have to make the steps towards those change to really, you know, for the universe to respond to me and be like, you know what? Like, you're on the right path. And it's just, so that's just kind of where I stand on, you know, one of the ways, and we will discuss more as we go deeper into this, but that's definitely one of the ways is like, you have to want it and you have to work towards it. And if you're not one of those fortunate people who can just sit on the couch and just say, I'm gonna will this to me, I would love to meet some of those people, right? Because I want to know your secrets. But that is not the case for most people.
Agreed. Like, who are these people? Do they really actually exist? So no, I'm in agreement. And you know, going back to this whole list from Reddit, one of the ones that I felt like was missing when it comes to what contributes to self-sabotage is perfectionism and control. Like, you didn't have that on here, but I know for me that that's been a huge component when it comes to self-sabotage, because you take it upon yourself to do everything, right? You don't trust the universe. The universe isn't going to get it done. I need to get it done, right? Like, it's up to me. No one else is going to do that for me. It's all me and me and me. And then you have like this thing inside you where I'm a firstborn child and I'm also a victim of narcissistic abuse. So sometimes when you are in those dynamics, you develop, for whatever reason, perfectionistic tendencies, which are designed to give you that sense of control, but also validate you, right? Like, if everything I do is perfect and I can account for all the errors and make sure none of those are there, then I validate myself as this incredible perfect being that can like do anything, right? Which is totally delusional, but we carry that subconsciously sometimes. So I think that that's such a huge component, because when you have such heavy-handed control on everything you do, all your behaviors, your choices, your actions, your decisions, like, it doesn't allow freedom for things, right? Like, because then you decide that the decisions and choices are going to stick within this specific framework and box, and they're not going to go out of this. And that's very limiting. And so, you know, it kind of makes sense that when you're operating in that space, that things are going to blow up for you, or they're not going to work out the way that you perceive or want. Again, that's just one factor. And for me, I know that that's a really huge one, is releasing that sense of perfectionism and control, which for me comes from trauma and other things. And so, you know, depending on the cause of the self-sabotage, like at the subconscious level, you might have to dig really deep in there to like find the roots and then start reprogramming it. And that can take a lot of time. And I have decided to start working with a therapist to start unpacking some of this stuff, just because I know for me, I need my hand held. So I do have,
she does,
I have a therapist I'm going to start working with. Allie has been very helpful as well. And then I have like some other things I'm considering that are more like esoteric, like subconscious stuff, like past life regression and that kind of thing. And I'm sort of like combining all these things to see if I can really make a dent when it comes to the blocks that are there, just because for me, they're not just from this lifetime that, you know, we know, they come from other lifetimes as well. So it's, for me, that's what I need. And I would say that a lot of people, if you're struggling with self-sabotage, perfectionism and control, and or even if you know that you're a victim of abuse, narcissistic abuse, you're probably going to need specialized care, just because that stuff is so damaging to the psyche. I don't know why it is, but it really is so destructive to the mind, the brain, the psyche, the way we operate. And I'm of the belief and opinion that it requires specialized, highly specialized care, particularly in the form of trauma support or trauma care, at least in my opinion. So, you know, I am doing that. But another thing that I am working through is trying to get to the root of some of the negative thoughts, because if you're a self-sabotager, there's a good chance you have a lot of negative self-talk, like a lot of negative self-criticism, just a lot of like doom and gloom thinking, like you're anticipating the worst outcomes all the freaking time. Like, and the way you operate is in anticipation of those terrible outcomes, right? And so it's sort of reestablishes that need for control and perfectionism, because your mind's like, well, I know that this is could potentially be this destructive and terrible, so I'm going to do more to control as much as I can to make sure that doesn't happen. And then it just ends up spiraling and not working in your favor ever. So I know for myself that I have gotten lost in some of the self-destructive behaviors when it comes to a lot of my endeavors, projects, business endeavors. Things that I've just like wanted to do. I've learned that I'm a very passionate person just by doing some of this inner discovery. And when you're a passionate person, you have a lot of drive, you have a lot of ambition, and you're very focused and determined, right? Because you're just like, this is what I want. This fuels me, it excites me, and like nothing's going to take this away from me, right? Like it's just, you just have this passion within you. And I had that and still do. It's just, when you self-sabotage yourself, you can never get there. And it was always something that was stopping me from getting there. Like, for example, when it came to some of my business endeavors, I didn't promote or market enough the way I should have. But the reason why I didn't is because I didn't have the money. And the reason why I didn't have the money is because I had all these limiting beliefs around money and how to control it. And so it's just kind of spirals into and like seeps into different areas and aspects of your life, and just makes achieving your goals so incredibly difficult. So I've been navigating that, still navigating that, still working on uncovering what a lot of this is and how to move forward beyond it. And as Ali said, it is going to require like really getting control of your mind and your thoughts and changing and shifting that. And that takes a lot of energy and time and effort. Like it really does. We're not here to like sugarcoat any of that. Like this is stuff you're gonna have to do for years, which isn't a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Like, you know, as long as you catch it and recognize it and start building the self-awareness, then you can start working towards changing it. But it does require effort and consistency, which is another issue I struggle with. So
consistency is a really big one. I'm just like, so, and it's so crazy. I'm gonna let Tiara finish that, but it's so crazy because, like, I don't think a lot of people realize that you look at, like, any successful person on this planet and they all talk about consistency and routine and discipline. And as long as you show up, even if things don't go your way, if you still show up, and if you talk to any successful person, they say that they're like, I showed up every single day, even if I was tired, even if I heard no, even if I hit the roadblocks, I still showed up every single day. Now, unfortunately, that rule doesn't apply for everything, right? It doesn't apply for every business venture. It's not going to apply for everything in life. But there is scientific studies showing, like, how your life can change with that consistency, discipline, and, you know, consistency.
Yes. And I don't know if this is something that happens with other people who struggle with self-sabotage, if the consistency thing is common. He didn't have it on this list, but it wouldn't surprise me if other people who do self-sabotage struggle with consistency, because it is a self-sabotaging behavior to not continually be consistent. And I know for me, it kind of had like this reverberating effect, right? Like, I would show up initially and like, you know, do what I need to do. And then when I didn't see the results, or I ran into a snag or a problem, my mind goes, oh, see, this isn't working out. We need to try something different. We need to do something else. And so I would just go, oh, okay, well, then I need to try and do something else, without really considering that consistency must continue and, like, keep going, even if you don't see the results you want to see. My mind didn't do that. My mind said, if you don't see the results you see, change, do something else, do something different. So again, that was just me. I don't know if that affects other people. I'm sure it does in different ways, but that's just the way my mind operates. So for me, multiple different components that are causing the self-sabotage, some of which I probably haven't even discovered. That was just what I discovered and noticed when it came to the pattern that I was dealing with.
She has a lot of blocks, and that's part of the reason why we want to talk about this, because I think that a lot of people have so many blocks, things that, you know, if anything, we just hope that from our personal experiences, you guys, like, you know, if you're listening to this episode, and if you just think about, like, yourself and think about any of your passions or ambitions or anything that you wanted to go after, and just think, like, I wonder why it didn't work out. Was it because I didn't show up enough? Was it just because it wasn't aligned? And that's a thing. And that's okay. You know, it's like, we're not meant to do everything. Like, we're not meant to be perfect at everything. We're not meant to, you know, it's like, we should try, though, because that, by trying and having experiences is exactly how we learn what we like, what we don't like. It's like how I have said, you know, when my father used to put me in all of the sports growing up, like, he was just like, we're gonna learn what you like, what you don't like, what you're passionate about. And it's like, you know, it's not that I was against, I liked being an active kid. Like, I was, you know, Tiara was just like, dang, like, you are athlete. Like, I didn't even realize, like, how many things you dipped your toes into, like, but you're an athlete. And I never even considered myself an athlete. It's just, you know, it's just my parents instilled in me, you try everything once. It's like, they wanted to keep me open-minded. They wanted to keep me open to any new opportunity. They wanted me to grow. Right. And so, like, for them, it's just like, by them throwing me into all these different sports and encouraging projects and trying musicals and joining choir and just doing it all, they were just like, you know, you're going to learn, like, what you're good at, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and really just encourage me to not be afraid to try something new.
I love that. I think that's such a great way to find out and discover a child's natural talents and nurture it, is to just throw them into different things. I did coming up do soccer. My mom put me in soccer because I was a very shy, awkward child, and I had social anxiety. So she was like, maybe we should put you in a sport just to accustom you to interact with other people and socializing better, which did help. I didn't really care for it, but it did help when it came to learning how to socialize better. The other one I did was basketball, and it's really interesting because I was a tall kid, and so I would always have people being like, oh my God, you should play basketball. Do you play? Like, you're so tall. And so I
said that too.
Yeah, I did take up basketball, and I hated it. I hated basketball. I did it for like 2 years because everyone else told me to, and I fucking hated it. I was not aggressive, and my coach was always like, you have so much potential. Like, just get in there and pivot and push that kid out the way. Like, you know, I know she's bigger than you, but you can like push her out the way. And I was just like, no, I don't want to get hurt. So I was terrible at basketball, did it up to my freshman year of college. I would have done it my sophomore year, but the coach hated me and I hated her. So sports kind of stopped my sophomore year of college. I will say one of the things I wanted to do that just wasn't an opportunity for me was model. I got a lot of people who would say to me, you should be a model, like Tyra Banks, honey, that's you. And I did one thing. I went to like a modeling audition. I went to a modeling audition for a school. It was like this like prestigious modeling school. My dad took me and I walked the runway and they fucking loved me. And they were like, we want you in our school. And then they were like, here's the prize tag. And my dad was like, So that never happens. But like outside of that, like I didn't really, it wasn't like, you know, I didn't really have the same exposure to sports like that. A couple sports here and there. Outside of that, nothing really interested me. Except modeling. Modeling did interest me. But I didn't really have like that same exposure, unfortunately. Which would have probably been very valuable had I had something similar, you know.
You want to know what? I'm actually happy that you brought up money because I do feel like money, especially in 2025, is a huge hurdle to get over, right? It's like, you know, I know a lot of things that stop people is people are just like, well, I can't afford it. I can't do it. And
yeah.
I know for me, one of the things, because my goal ever since I was a kid, like for as long as I can even remember, I was really fascinated with the world. I was really fascinated with the world outside of my tiny bubble as a child in Vermont. And I always said from the age of 4 or 5, like I used to go to my dad and I was like, I'm going to travel the world one day.
And
I would just say it. And you know, when I finally reached my mid-20s, I didn't have the money to do the trip that I did. I did not at all. And I was still paying off student loan debt and all of this stuff. And my dad was just like, hey, if you really want to travel the world someday, go get certified to teach English. And I didn't even consider it. I didn't really ever have any desire to become a teacher, not gonna lie. It just wasn't on my radar of career paths. And he was like, Allie, it's not solely about teaching. Like, yes, like if you're gonna be an educator, like I want you to step into that role and I want you to do well at it. I don't want you just to, you know, get it and kind of half-ass it and just use it as a tool to go travel. Like he was just like, I didn't raise you like that. But he was just like, if you really want to travel, he was like, that's what you should do. And I was like, you know what? It's a great idea. And it did. It that was my ticket out of America. That was my ticket to land into other countries, be able to work and continue to travel and pay off debt. And I was just like, you know, I love how he listened and he knew like what my dream was, what my goal was. And he was just like, this is how it's obtainable and for you to support yourself. And I was just like, sign me up. And so I went out to San Francisco. I had never been to San Francisco. I'd lived in San Diego And I found a great school, and, you know, they do job placements. And yeah, I ended up a few years later, actually many years later, I ended up going to Korea and teach English. And so, and from there, it's like I got tutoring gigs in other countries like Vietnam. And like I got like, you know, it's just there are ways. It's like once you get that experience, especially teaching in a big country like Korea, then yeah, like other countries will look at you and be like, okay, so not only are you certified, but now you have experience and it's easier to get work while continuing to travel. Mm-hmm. And so it you just have to get creative. Now, not gonna lie, ever since COVID, a lot of the rules have changed. Obviously, the financial stage has changed globally, economically. Unfortunately, like Tiara and I, we have been discussing that the golden era is kind of over, and it sucks. But it's true. None of us really know where we're headed as a society. There's a lot going on in the political stage. There's a lot going on economically. And, you know, with AI, they're trying to roll out digital ID, which some people call the mark of the beast. And so there's just a lot going on. And so what worked for me even 7 years ago might not be relevant today. But, you know, a lot of people are just saying is that our system's broken. Our system is broken, and the only way to move forward is to pick up new skills, because the world is ever evolving. We need to keep up with the times. We need to learn new skills, and we need to be able to create. And so we're actually kind of being forced into, if you want to survive, you got to be able to create and provide something for the public as we transition into wherever we're headed, because I don't really think anyone knows.
Yeah, I have no idea where we're headed. But I full-heartedly agree. And that's why it makes things like working through your blocks so important, because if you need to create to survive and you've got self-sabotage exactly. patterns, you're going to have a bad time. I'm just going to let you know that right now. You're going to have a very bad time. So it's so critical and important that, you know, at this stage where we are societally, that we start working on ways to overcome the things that stop us from achieving our goals and being the individuals that we want to be. Otherwise, it's going to not be pretty. And, you know, I recognize that, and I do want something better. And so I do continue to push through and work through many of these blocks and limitations. The ones I'm really focusing on right now are tied to like generating income, because outside of the self-sabotage behavior, I also carry limiting beliefs around money. And I do know a lot of it comes from my upbringing, because there were just many circumstances where I had a dream or something I wanted to do, and we couldn't do it because of money. We didn't have the money. There's not enough money. We can't afford it. And so I internalized that. I can think of two specific, very pivotal instances where that happens, where the modeling one was one of them. But I also wanted to go to a Black college, or an HBCU, as they're traditionally known, and couldn't do that because, again, we had financial limitations. And so again, I would internalize that, like, okay, so when it comes to attaining your dreams, you need money for dreams. Got it. Okay. And so that has manifested as its own set of issues, like down the line as I've gotten into adulthood. So, you know, once you start like going and unpacking some of the programming and the trauma that's tied to it, you will find very interesting things. Like, I found so many incredibly interesting things that I didn't even know was there. Like, I think the other day I discovered that when it comes to money, that I had this need to control it so heavily, because I'm always feeling like it's slipping through my fingers for some reason. But in doing that, it makes attracting money harder, because now again, I get back into that control mindset, and I'm just like, all right, money gets managed within this box. This is the box that manages my money. It doesn't change. That's that. So I've had to shift that, or at least start working to reprogram some of that so that money can flow to me the way it should. Because again, as long as you limit yourself in the box of control, things aren't going to flow to you the way they should and the way the universe wants it to. So again, these are just my examples and some of my experiences when it comes to navigating through some of this stuff. But I do hope that it's helpful to others that might be going through something similar, or if you think you might be dealing with self-sabotaging patterns and behaviors. I would say one of the telltale signs of potentially being stuck in self-sabotage is you feel like everything blows up in your face, like everything, anything and everything, any endeavor, project, goal, dream, you can't get it off the ground. You try so hard and you put so much time and effort and energy into it to the point of burnout, but you're still not seeing the results. You don't know why. You think you're cursed. You think there's something wrong with you. You think the universe has it out for you. There's a good chance that you're stuck in some type of self-sabotage pattern. So I hope that's helpful to others who aren't sure why they're having the struggles that they're having. It might definitely be worth exploring to see if there is something going on in your energy that is self-sabotaging you.
Absolutely. And another thing that I think should be highlighted in this episode, because we are talking about self-sabotage, is that when we self-sabotage, it bleeds into everything. Mm-hmm. It bleeds into everything. It will bleed into your ability to make money. It will bleed into your ability to manifest the things that you want. It will bleed into your relationships.
Oh, yes.
And that is a really, really big one that could probably be its own episode.
It probably
should be, but it bleeds into your relationships. Unfortunately, that has happened to myself because I was stuck in self-sabotaging behavior. And I know other people that it happens to as well, that they just can't get out of their own control. They can't get out of their own wounds. They can't get out of their own trauma. They just think like, okay, like I need to emotionally withdraw. That's a really big one when it comes to how self-sabotaging bleeds into relationships, emotional withdrawal and avoidance. And, you know, I mean, sadly, it all really kind of stems into different branches of trauma. You know, I've been exploring trauma more and more, especially through my clients and who I work with, but it bleeds into everything. It's like people just think like, oh no, it just bleeds into this one channel. And I'm like, no, it bleeds into every aspect of your life. And, you know, it's like, I don't know if people really have that self-awareness to know like, oh my God, like this is affecting me manifesting a healthy relationship. This is stopping me from, you know, making enough money to survive in 2025. It's stopping me from being able to create. It's stopping me from feeling motivated and getting that fire and that spark and the things that you need to get yourself out of, you know, doubt, depression, you know, hopelessness. Mm-hmm. All of those really deep sinking feelings that you just feel like there's no hope in the world. There's nothing there for me. There's no substance there.
Yeah.
And so it is really important to like be cognizant that it bleeds into everywhere.
Yeah. And I do want to speak for a minute to that piece when it comes to self-sabotage and like the hopelessness and the depression, because I do think that it can lead to that. And it did for me. Like once I started realizing how things kept blowing up in my face over and over and over again, I became demoralized where I was just like, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know if I'm just the most unlucky person on the planet. My mind does these things. Just bear with me for a minute. I don't know if it's because I'm cursed. I don't know if it's because I'm black. I don't know what it is, but like I can't get anything going and I'm demoralized. And now I'm just going to sit into a pit of despair and depression. And I did. And I was there for like a year.
Longer.
Longer than a year. The worst of it lasted about a year. Like the like where I didn't have the motivation or the drive really to do anything at all. And like I didn't really leave the house. I didn't really go and have fun or do anything. I would just like sit at home in despair on my phone scrolling most of the day and just feeling like, all right, well, I guess this is my life. So it's really important that if you think you're dealing with self-sabotage, to really get a hold of it and catch it. Otherwise, it can lead to things like anxiety, panic attacks, depression, despair, hopelessness, helplessness. So it's one of those cycles that I think is one of the most difficult to deal with. Like self-sabotage, especially if it's really bad, is such a nasty, nasty cycle. I don't know if it gets much worse. I'm sure it does. I don't want to know that what that might be, but it's nasty. And so we share this because we really want to help you guys, particularly if you think you're struggling with self-sabotage, to get ahead of it, because you can. You just might need help. It's going to require catching and reframing the negative thought patterns. It's going to require going into some of your trauma and seeing what might be contributing from your past. It's going to require perhaps even working with someone, getting a therapist. I know when it comes to self-sabotage that there's a link between that and narcissistic abuse. So that might be something worth looking at, because I know a lot of people do deal with narcissistic abuse, particularly in the form of relationships. For me, it was my upbringing, and also in the form of a relationship. And we internalize the experiences from, you know, our upbringing and from relationships too. And so that could be contributing. So there are things that you can do to try to get ahead of it. You just have to put in that time, effort, and energy. And once you do, you'll start to discover things, and then you'll start to like build that confidence back up as you start discovering why you act the way that you do. And then as your confidence grows, you can start re-examining your goals and what drives you to achieve them. So it is a process. It takes time. It takes self-compassion and patience, but it's absolutely doable.
I actually want to touch upon this because I think that there's a lot of truth to this. And I know I have said it in previous relationships. I know Tiara recently said it to me. And I'm just trying to figure out where I want to go with this. But what I find really, really interesting, oftentimes us children end up marrying or finding relationships that carry a lot of traits from our parents. And, you know, my last long-term relationship, I even told him this. I was like, you remind me a lot of my dad. And I had a fantastic relationship with my father. And so, like, it was a great relationship for me. We weren't perfect. We definitely had our ups and downs. But I was just like, yeah, no, he carried a lot of the traits. Like, my dad was just this non-worrier, hippie guy, super chill, really intelligent, just really, like, fun and easy to be around, open-minded. He was exploratory. He loved to travel. He loved to read. He was the chief editor of a newspaper. And so, you know, like, great around people, amazing interviewer, really articulate. Like, he was just, you know, he was someone to look up to. And I have a lot of respect and so thankful that I got to grow up with that. And so it's like when I had met this guy, it's just so many similar traits, just super chill, easy, not really worried, not afraid to call me out on my shit, which was extremely helpful. And, you know, it's just I had parents who called me out, and that was I didn't like it back then. I was just like, I took it really personally. Mm-hmm. I got defensive. I was just like, well, I don't think you guys really like me, like, mm-hmm. you know, the way that they used to call me out. And so, but now I realize, like, now that I'm an adult, I was just like, no, they were doing me a huge service, you know, a huge service in life. And, you know, it's like, I remember, because Tiara and I have known each other 11 years, like, when I was in that relationship, she'd be like, why are you even with this guy? Like, he kind of sounds like an asshole. And I was just like, no, it's actually, like, yeah, maybe he didn't approach it the best way, but it was actually really beneficial because it woke me up to my behaviors, to my patterns. And those are things that I needed to overcome to become a better person. And so it is really interesting how oftentimes we will find traits in partners that our parents had. And so I know, like, in Tiara's marriage, she was just like, I married my mother. And I was just like, I didn't know her mother. I only met her husband. I've never met her mother. And I was just like, well, if your husband's anything like your mom, then that says a lot.
Yeah, I recently had that revelation that the traits in my husband were very similar to the traits of my mother. And both of them were very controlling, very manipulative, and showed traits of narcissism, or like narcissistic features, like very self, everything was about them and like what they wanted for themselves. And any of the actions that they dictated or the way they treated me or, you know, my sisters was about fulfilling their wants, needs, and desires. And the thing about it is that I don't know what it is about narcissists, but they're so crafty and they're so good at it that you don't like consciously see it, and you don't subconsciously see it either until later, and you know, you see all the trauma and wounds. But like, it's just initial impressions of these individuals, you would never think that they had any narcissistic traits or features. And like, I never considered my parents to be narcissistic at all. I was like, they were great parents. They provided for us and gave us what we needed. They didn't provide any emotional support, but hey, we had food and we had a house and we had clothes. Can we really complain?
Right.
So yeah, it's just, it's really interesting. Like the narcissists, and their traits and features, they're so sneaky and crafty and clever. And like, you would never have any idea that anything that they dictated towards you or any of their actions and behaviors towards you was geared towards themselves. And I never recognized that ever, not with my mom, not even with my husband until I left later, did I realize that a lot of the things that he wanted from me and of me were for himself. I did recognize that later, and like, it made me sit back and think. And that's when I sort of put two and two together. I was like, huh, I think my mom did the same thing. Oh, wow. Yeah. Right. I married my mother. Wow. That's really crazy.
But it makes sense though. But it absolutely makes sense that we, you know, because it's what we grew up with. It's what we know. And so it's, of course, we're going to attract those types of people into our lives.
Right. Right. No, it makes total sense. It's just kind of a mind fuck in that way. It's
absolutely.
Like, it's a total mind fuck. And I'm just like, wait, how did that happen? So... yeah, that's something. Your partner or your spouse can tell you a lot about your upbringing. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think self-sabotage is such a fascinating topic. And it's super interesting just to go down the rabbit hole. And if we like look at the world around us and the people that are in our lives, it's like, how many of those traits that those really close people we have in our life resemble our family, what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so it's like, if you just take a step back just to think and take like a good look around, I think you would be pleasantly surprised.
Yes, absolutely.
Or unpleasantly surprised, you know, just saying.
For me, it was mostly unpleasant, but like, I'm all about discovery, and I like discovering all these things down there that I don't know about. I think it's fascinating. I think it's interesting.
Oh, same.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, wow, I discovered that. That's really interesting. Wow. I had no idea that was there, but I'm going to hold on to that and do something with it eventually. So it can be a very insightful process, you guys, a really interesting stuff, like discovering these things about yourself, about your past, about how it affects your behaviors today, about how your inner child was affected. And then once you have that awareness, you can do something about it and then shift your life for the better. That's really all it's about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love being able to be a part of Tiara's journey and all of this. Like, you know, I was really one of the only people who was just like, hey, there's something off about this person. And she ignored me for 10 years. But what matters is that we got there.
True. Yeah, Allie's like the only person in my life that's ever called out anything that I needed to see. So I'm very, very grateful to her, because without that, I would probably still be stuck in a very narcissistic and emotionally destructive relationship and job, and in a place that I burn up in every summer. So I'm very grateful to Allie and her assistance and guidance over these years. I would not be here if it wasn't for her.
Aww. So if there's anything that you guys can take from our dynamic and friendship, is like, you know, I have realized, especially with the way that society has evolved with social media, like how incredibly rare and special it is for someone. Like when people say, like, how long have you guys known each other? And we say 11 years, people are in shock. They're just like, I don't even think I am still in contact with someone that I knew. Like, I don't think I am in contact with anyone that I've known for that long that has our bond. And I think it's really, you know, it's really special, and it's really important to, you know, find the people that, like, you know, you can be authentic with, that you can be honest with, and know that it's like, I mean, her and I don't have always the funnest conversations, and but like she knows that it's coming from a really good place. And that's something that a lot of people just, if you have a friend like that, hold on to them. It's like, I mean, obviously if it's abusive or if it's narcissistic, then don't hold on to that person, clearly. But I mean, if you know that it's like, if it's a person that you know and you trust, then hold on to that person, because you know it's coming from a good place, like a place that's like, I'm bringing these things to your attention because I want you to heal or be a better person, or, you know, help you be a part of this journey to help you, you know, really elevate yourself. Because it's just like, there's just not, unfortunately, there's less and less inspiring people out there these days. You know, finding someone that you vibe with, can look up to, someone that is, that will help you, it's more rare. It's just, unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. And so, like, this is why we stress community. This is why we are stressing, like, togetherness, community, because we need each other now more than ever. Humanity needs to come together. And we've been seeing that, especially, you know, what's happening on the global stage with these governments across the entire world. That's just like, who just, unfortunately, they're all narcissists. They have too much power. And, you know, they're trying to take what they're trying to squeeze whatever they can that's left out of us little people and, you know, us working class people. And I mean, it's in your face. It's like, I mean, if you're in a bubble, good for you. But if you're not in a bubble, and if you're awake, you know, Tiara and I have often said this, like, you can't unsee it. You can't unknow what's happening in the world once you're awakened to it. You can't just go back into ignorance is bliss and, oh my God, I'm in my bubble. No, you can't. You just can't. Yeah. And that's what's happening. The awakening, the great awakening is happening. And people are finally waking up and they're just like, whoa, we've been lied to our entire lives. Everything's a lie. And you can't unsee it. So now we need to take this energy and we need to take this momentum. And we can't let what's happening happen.
Yes. And I wanted to add just a little bit when it comes to finding people to hold on to. There is value in finding someone who will call you out on your shit and on your destructive behaviors. Like, I've never had that. And that is so immensely valuable. Like, I know we all hate that in theory, because we don't want to be like told, like, hey, you've got this problem that's affecting me and everyone else and you're an asshole. But that's valuable sometimes. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, and again, as I said, I've never really had that. Like, in my family, if you've got destructive behaviors, we're going to laugh at you and ignore you and move on with our lives. But to have someone say, hey, I'm calling you out on this destructive behavior of yours because look how it's affecting everyone, that's huge. So I think it's important to see the value in that and not take it as judgment, value judgments, and personal, which I know is really hard. That's so hard. And I still struggle with that too. But there is so much value in that, because you're not going to really get that from a lot of people. And that could be key to helping you unpack some of the destructive patterns that you're carrying. So I just wanted to throw in that tidbit, because I've found so much value in that for myself.
There is, because again, how are you going to know that you even carried these destructive patterns if no one
I know
points it out to you?
Right. I don't know. I have no idea. That's what,
exactly.
That's value in it because I have no idea. So yeah, that's huge. Right. I mean, I just think that's huge.
Yeah. So, you know, Tiara and I have been through a lot. We've been through a lot individually. We've been through a lot together. And, you know, I've just been fortunate because I've had it my entire life. Even though I didn't understand it back then, I understand it now. Mm-hmm. Took a while, but, you know, it's interesting because it's like I've said to Tiara, not to blast your age, but, you know, Tiara hasn't had the opportunity to work on it her entire life. She is now basically at the age of 40 unpacking 40 years worth of stuff, and she's just like,
it's so much.
I wish I would have had it throughout my entire life, starting from childhood like you did, versus starting at the start line at the age of 40 unpacking 40 years worth of trauma.
Right. And that's not for lack of trying, like, because I awakened in 2019 and I set off to try to, like, start some of that work. And then I got stuck in
the... But she was on the way different path.
Yeah, I got stuck in, like, the whole false ascension thing. And then, like, ego came into play. And then all the patterns were still there that were destructive that kept me from going the direction I needed to go. And it's just, like, there was just so much to overcome. So, yeah, at the age of 40, I'm unpacking 40 years worth of stuff. And, oh, my God, you guys, it's so much. I'm just like, there is no way I'm going to make a dent in like 1% of this. So that it's a lot, but I think if you can get the momentum going, at least,
exactly,
maybe in another lifetime, if you get that opportunity, you can pick up the rest of it. Who knows? So, you know, I'm just taking it day by day.
So if any of you guys are stuck, then, you know, I hope you guys can take some of our personal experiences and kind of use our personal experiences as like a benchmark and just kind of like look at yourself and see like how, if you are a self-sabotager, how it bleeds into your daily life and how it bleeds into your relationships and how it bleeds into everything. Because again, if you have control issues, if you're a perfectionist, if you carry tons of anxiety, if you are too stuck in your comfort zone, if you are that terrified of the unknown, if you're that terrified to look at yourself, those are all self-sabotaging traits and behaviors. And unfortunately, if you're stuck in that cycle, not a whole lot's going to happen in your life. Like, things are not going to improve.
Agreed.
So we just want to thank everyone for joining us. And I'm so excited that we're finally like recording our faces, and, you know, we went years not doing it, but now we're here. And yeah, we are really passionate about wanting to help the collective. We want to see the collective rise and, you know, overcome all this dark shit that's happening on the planet right now. Cause it's dark. No one can deny that. It's dark.
Yes, it's very dark. But we are here to support you guys if you need it. Our new website is up. It's www.goddessvibrationpodcast.com. It's got some interesting stuff on there, and it's got a breakdown of all of our recent episodes. Our contact information is on there. So if you have any thoughts or ideas, or even if you're just like, hey, I could use a little advice, shoot us an email. We'd be happy to help.
So thank you everyone for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
All right. Take care, you guys.